Blog Talk Radio.
Hey all, welcome back to Welcome to My World. It's Dominique right here with you again. I want to talk to you about a really important and just very evocative, provocative subject tonight. And we're going to talk about the subject of narcissism. And not just narcissism. Narcissism goes hand in hand with what the DSM-5 now calls just antisocial personality disorder, which, gosh, if that name doesn't even begin to cover the impact that those carrying this disorder have. But antisocial personality disorder basically includes personality disorders, including narcissism and sociopathy. And we are actually going to get ready to talk about it in just a moment. I'm going to briefly go live on Periscope right now. If you have anything to say while I am setting up on Periscope to broaden our audience a little bit, you can call in at 929-477-2694, either to listen in or to call in and talk. Again, that number is 929-477-2694. And momentarily, we will be live on Busker and Periscope. One by one, Periscope and then Busker. So if you have anything to say, you can, of course, join us there. I'm at Progressive Dom on both, I believe. And I would just, you know, appreciate your feedback. Have you been through this? Have you been in a relationship like this? What is your experience? What is your experience with narcissism, with sociopathy? So I'm going to set us up here on Periscope, and then we'll be on Busker. And I just want to really broaden our audience because I think this issue affects so incredibly many people. So I'll give you a moment to call in if you'd like at 929-477-2694. And unfortunately, our computer is running a little slowly today. Okay, bear with me. Okay, and we're trying to get into the studio. That is our goal. Get into the studio. Okay, so here we go. We're in the studio. I can now see who's calling in and allow you to join in the conversation or just listen in. And it looks like we've got a couple callers on the line here just listening in. If you'd like to talk, you can call in, and I will put you on the air momentarily, and you can speak your piece. So you can call in at 929-477-2694. Okay, and so we are setting up right now on Periscope. I am going to label this scope, join us to talk about narcissism and red flags. We want to leave room for our Blog Talk Radio website. And, okay, welcome to my world. So I think this is something that really affects a lot of people. It does. And I'm going to try to go ahead and ignore any kind of trolling or anything like that. Hello, welcome. Briefly, before I get back to work tonight, we are going to talk here on Periscope and then on Busker about narcissism and the red flags that we need to identify to steer clear of it. I am hosting my Blog Talk Radio show live right now on blogtalkradio.com/welcometomyworld, where you can join in and listen in live there and contribute to the discussion if you would like to. Welcome. So if you've been through a narcissistic relationship, feel free to let me know what your story has been like, okay? But here are some of the red flags as I've written them down and as I have experienced with myself and my clients, and also as some of the professionals that I know have experienced them. So, number one, the first thing that happens when you meet a narcissist is that they are, gosh, we're getting really close to our Busker deadline here, but a narcissist is somebody who is going to shower you with compliments, attention, love, et cetera, et cetera. It's all going to be very fake. They're going to mirror what you show them. They're going to do what they think you want them to do. They're going to behave in a way that they think you want them to behave in. And they're kind of Oscar-winning actors. They will put on a show. They'll play a role. They really don't genuinely have a personality of any kind, unfortunately. And so they'll mirror yours, and they'll try to take what is good in your life and make it their own. I am going to be live on Busker in a minute, but I wanted to put this website out there for you guys on Periscope to please feel free to join me. We are talking live right now on blogtalkradio.com/welcometomyworld on my show. We're talking live about narcissism, so join us there and on Busker, and I'll be back with you later. So here we go. We're going on Busker right now, and let's see. Hopefully our live broadcast is still going to work. I'm rather new to Busker, so bear with me here. Okay. Let us see. Scheduled broadcast. Here we go. Right now. And we've got a couple of people subscribed to listen in to our Busker broadcast. And that'll be happening in just a couple of minutes here. So join us right here, join us on Busker, join us on Periscope. I really want to get the information out there about narcissism and what kind of impact that has on society. And as I mentioned, narcissism and sociopathy go hand in hand. Really, they do. Now, okay, I'm trying to think of where I want to start. Let me tell you a little bit about myself and why do I know so much about narcissism and sociopathy. Like, why should you listen to me, right? Who am I? So I am a lifestyle consultant and coach both for individuals and businesses. And I work with people from just various walks of life. And I work with people who are trying to improve themselves and improve their relationships and their lives in general. And you would be surprised at how many of my clients are in the grips of a narcissistic or abusive relationship or a sociopathic relationship. It's pretty stunning and pretty scary how many people there are out there that are just in the grips of a relationship like that. And when you're with a narcissist or a sociopath or any combination therein, when you're with somebody like that, I apologize for the rude horn beeping and blasting. I think somebody needs to check themselves and understand that they're in a condominium parking lot and not at some sort of a derby or something. So I apologize for that. So getting back to what I was saying, narcissism affects people in a very serious way. I think there has not been enough study done on basically the victims of narcissists, because narcissistic relationships can cause us to suffer from PTSD. They can cause us to become very on edge, very unhappy, to feel very unfulfilled in life. Narcissists just are an absolute plague on society. Let me tell you, before I really get into what narcissists are, let me tell you a bit about what they're not. There is sort of a consensus out there, a wrong consensus out there between professionals and just people that have been in narcissistic relationships, who tend to think that narcissists and sociopaths are some sort of evil genius. They're not. They're absolutely not. That could not be more wrong. I want to disabuse you of that mythology and that mentality. It's ridiculous. Narcissists and sociopaths are no more than any of us. They don't have any special qualities. They're not the X-Men. They're not the Avengers. Okay. They're not Buffy the Vampire Slayer. They are just people, and they're people who are deficient in some way at that. And they're people to be pitied and not looked down on, but certainly to be pitied and to be looked at in a very reflective way, and to just look at that person and say, gosh, it must really be hard to go through life like that, because narcissists and sociopaths both happen to lack one of the main components that are part of just making the human condition what it is. And that component is empathy. They lack empathy. They do not have the capacity to be empathetic, ladies and gentlemen. So no matter what you want to tell yourself about the narcissist or sociopath in your life, they do not, and I really want you to hear me on this, and I've been there, they do not have the ability to be empathetic. They just don't. It's very sad. It's very unfortunate. They do not have the ability to be empathetic. They really don't. And so I want you to really think about that. And instead of, you know, blaming yourself or, you know, thinking that there's something wrong with you, I really want you to think about the fact that narcissists and sociopaths and people who exhibit antisocial personality disorder character points, they're really someone to be pitied and not somebody to be sort of afraid of. Do you want them in your life? No. Can you fix them? No. Can you make them better? Absolutely not. And if you do find that you have one or more of these individuals in your life, I would like you to very seriously consider leaving that relationship, because it's not going to serve you. It's not going to serve your needs or your interests at all. And honestly, you're just going to be going in a really, getting in a really unhealthy cycle with yourself. You're going to get yourself into some unhealthy thought patterns, unhealthy cycles. In fact, many people who have been in relationships with narcissists and sociopaths find that they feel they've lost a piece of themselves. And often wrongly, they attribute that to having lost the person that they had in their life. No, that's not the case, though, is it? That person did not, you know, walk away with a piece of you. They did not embody some major part of you that you can only get back by having them in your life. What happened was you unfortunately allowed yourself, and I don't blame you, it's not your fault, you allowed yourself to believe that this person truly cared for you and loved you and wanted to be with you, and they didn't. So you need to be able to understand that in order to try to take back that piece of you that you feel is missing. So as I mentioned before, welcome Busker viewers. As I mentioned before on the radio show just now, there are some really key components in identifying narcissists. There are some really key components, thank you, in identifying narcissists. And particularly when you first meet them, whether they're a boss, a coworker, someone that you have a social relationship with, someone that you're dating, no matter how you know them or how they're in your life, they are going to come through with mirroring techniques and bombing techniques. What happens is we're not able to develop a personality themselves. They don't have a core personality. So they put on sort of a mask over the years. And this goes for sociopaths and narcissists. So what they do is they study you, right? So let's back that up. If you were born with all of your abilities, sight, touch, you know, hearing, smell, all five senses, if you were born with all those senses intact, you're going to be able to experience the world in a full and complete way, correct? So consider this. Narcissists and sociopaths were born or made into people who do not have a major sense. They're lacking, almost as if they were born blind or deaf. They're lacking empathy, and empathy is a key component in the human condition, and it's just a key component in life itself, right? So they're coming into life lacking something, and they're unable to experience life in the way that you and I do. So really, like I said, they're not some evil genius. They're not Voldemort. They're not the Master from Doctor Who. Pick your evil genius. They're not Hannibal Lecter. They're just regular. Thank you. They're just regular people who are unfortunately experiencing a deficiency in empathy and emotion and emotional intelligence and emotional maturity. So they don't have that. They don't have that capacity. It's not that they have it and they just are saving it for the right person. No, folks, they don't have it, and I want you to really understand that. So if you're involved with the narcissist or sociopath, it's not your fault, but you need to understand that they do not have the same abilities that you and I do to experience the world in an empathetic, emotional, and intelligent way. So what they do is they try to kind of feel the world out in a different way. They learn a lot by watching and listening. They learn a lot by viewing other people's behaviors and taking those behaviors on and just one by one picking and choosing little behaviors here and there from people that they have viewed either truly in movies. They look at movies and books as if they're real life. So they'll take on little characteristics that they see that a hero had in a movie. They'll take on characteristics that a respected neighbor or friend might have. And they will kind of weave these characteristics together into an intricate mask. And then they don their mask. And oftentimes people can't see through that mask, and it works well for a while. But because there's nothing underneath the mask, it just isn't sustainable. It isn't sustainable. So it's really unfortunate. And you can't allow these people to be in your life. Yes, I am in that area, but I'm going to keep that to myself for now. It's on Busker, but I'm not going to talk about it live on the radio, and I'm on the radio right now. So, yeah. But anyway, when a narcissist comes into your life or a sociopath comes into your life, what happens is they start observing you, and they start looking at your characteristics and seeing what other people admire about you and what other people like about you. And they start thinking, oh, gosh, other people really like this about, you know, Dominique, or this about Ted or John or Sam. I think I am going to start embodying those qualities. So they weave that into their mask. And when they're around Ted or Sam or John or Dominique, they reflect those qualities to us to say, see, I'm just like you. I'm just like you. Like me. Love me. I want to be part of your circle. So it's very dangerous. That's called love bombing and bombing in general. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're dating the narcissist in question. You could be in a work relationship, social relationship, what have you. And they will start throwing compliments your way. It's kind of sophisticated, you're right, but then at the same time, it's kind of not at all sophisticated and just, like, really sad and pathetic. And, like, I pity them, to be honest. So, yeah, one of our viewers just said that sounds really sophisticated. Well, yeah, but no. Just like if you were born without the ability to see or hear, you would develop other abilities. And that's one of the abilities they've developed. But it's kind of hollow and sad, and it just doesn't ring true. So what they'll do is they'll start complimenting you. Once they feel that they're mirroring qualities that you might like or respect or want in your life, they will start hounding you with compliments and giving you gifts. I met somebody long ago who just, you know, would try to shower me with gifts and clearly didn't understand that that was just not something that flew with me. That makes me uncomfortable. It's weird. It's creepy. I don't want that. And, but they just showered me with gifts. And they will do this with you. They will shower you with gifts, with compliments. And they're very adept at picking up what things work for you and what things don't, to an extent. Because they really don't possess empathy or emotional maturity or emotional intelligence. So to an extent, they're really good at seeing what you like, what works for you, what kind of person you want in your life, and trying to be that person. And usually within a couple of months, not only does the bombing or the love bombing stop, but the mirroring stops and the mask starts to slip and then the relationship starts to fail. And sadly, when a narcissist or a sociopath comes into your life, immediately right off the bat, because this is their MO, I promise, as soon as they meet you, they have come up with some sort of an exit strategy. They have already decided how they're going to get rid of you when they no longer want you around. And so while you're busy being, you know, going, what the hell just happened? My head is spinning. Where did this wonderful person go? And who is this complete asshole in their place? They have already come up with their exit strategy, and they've already decided how they're going to get rid of you and how they're going to let you go. And frankly, it's a really creepy, sick way to behave, and it's sad. And like I said, I think it's to be pitied. The thing to remember, though, is you can't change them. They can't even change themselves. Once you become a full-blown sociopath or narcissist, if you weren't born that way, once you have become that, there's no going back, ever. And so it's really important to realize that so that you know that your only recourse is to leave, and leave now. If you're in a professional or romantic relationship with a narcissist, you need to be very, very careful about how you decide to leave. You need to be very, very careful about that because just, for instance, let's say that you text 3 times a day normally, 5 days a week. And let's say that as you're starting to notice their facade slipping and as you're thinking about, do I really want this person in my life anymore, let's say your texts slip away. You're only, okay, thank you, I'll call you back. So, so let's say that as you're thinking, just naturally, as a genuine person, as you're thinking, I don't know if I want them in my life anymore, something's wrong with them, as that happens, you're not, of course, you're a genuine, honest person, and you're not going to be calling and texting as much. So if your text dropped from 3 times a day, 5 days a week, to twice a week, immediately in their mind, because they're so calculating, they're going to say, okay, instigate plan B. This, we're cutting this person off. And that's, in their mind, that's what they're going to say. They're going to say, okay, time to instigate the escape hatch, open the escape hatch, instigate the escape plan, and get rid of this person from our lives. We're going to cut them off. And they'll do it coldly, quickly. Well, it'll seem quickly to you, when in reality, the first time that they notice that you're not paying them as much attention as you usually do, the first time that happens, they will start telling people that you both know that maybe, ooh, like for instance, if your name is Sam, they'll be telling your mutual friends, oh, guys, I don't know, have you noticed? Sam's been acting a little weird lately. Have you noticed that? Gosh, I'm really concerned. I love Sam, and I'm so concerned about Sam. So, like, have you noticed how weird he's been acting? Gosh, I wonder what's going on. And then the sociopath or narc in question will start showing your mutual friends the texts and emails that they've had with you. They'll start copying them on emails. They'll start letting them listen in on phone calls. And then before you know it, your so-called friends have bought into this goofy idea that even though they know you very well and probably have done for some time, they'll have bought into this goofy idea that you're somehow like an unsavory person and that they should no longer associate with you. So, you know, before you even know anything's happening, the sociopath or narc is already talking about you behind their back, or behind your back, rather. They're already instigating their escape plan. They've got the escape hatch open, or they've got their hands on the door, and they're about to open it up and get in their hatch and fly away. And they will destroy your relationships as they go. They will do their very best to destroy your relationships. And so I want you to understand that. I'm going to end the Busker broadcast right now and go back into Facebook, or onto Periscope, rather, for a while, because I want everybody to get the chance to listen in. I think this is kind of an important, you know, broadcast, really. It doesn't matter who's doing it. It's important to get it out there. And in the meantime, I'm going to go ahead and read you some of the red flags that Psychocast Free wants to tell you about to have you just be aware of these red flags. So some of the warnings and the red flags that Psychocast Free warns you about are, first and foremost, you feel on edge around the narcissist or sociopath. And by the way, there is such a thing as a narcopath, which is sort of an unholy combination of narcissistic, of many, both narcissistic and sociopathic traits that present all in one package at one time. And I'm drinking my coffee here too, so I'll give you a moment to call in if you'd like to discuss. We had some guests call in before. The guest call-in number is 929-477-2694. Again, that's 929-477-2694. And you can join us at www.blogtalkradio.com, of course. And that is /welcome to my world. Welcome tomatoes. My phone wants me to type in welcome tomatoes instead of welcome to my world. You gotta love autocorrect. So join us at www.blogtalkradio.com/welcome to my world to talk live about narcissists and narcissism and the red flags that are inherent therein. Important red flags. So we're setting up another Periscope broadcast just because, like I said, I think it's an important thing to discuss. So here we go. And we're setting up our Periscope broadcast. And hopefully the camera is about to turn around. So now I'm going to tell you a little bit about some of the red flags that Psychocast Free wants you to know about. So first and foremost, and please do feel free to join us live on air. Hello. The first red flag is you feel on edge around the person. You feel, okay, so we're live on the air right now, so as much as I'd like to really just talk with you, we're going to stick to the topic at hand, and you're welcome to discuss it with us here or join us on the link right there. The guest call-in number is 929-477-2694. So the first red flag that the website Psychocast Free wants you to know about is that you feel on edge around this narcissist or sociopath, but you still want them to like you, and you want them to be in your life. Not normal, right? You should not feel that way with anybody. Nobody should make you feel that way. Nobody should take away your power. It's not right. So catch yourself there. If you're feeling very on edge around this new person or around this person that you've had in your life for a long time, but yet you still really want them to like you and it really matters to you what their opinion of you is, then they may well be a sociopath or a narcissist. And they can be very charming. They can be very charming. The second red flag is that they withhold attention and they undermine your self-esteem. So at psychocastfree.com says that after you first hook up and after you first get to know each other, they'll start, you know, shooting praise and flattery your way. And then after a while, they'll withdraw and they'll become very uninterested and very reclusive. And they'll make you feel like you're desperate for wanting them in your life. Right? But that's got nothing to do with you. That's because you're seeing their mask drop away and you're seeing that fake persona just kind of melt away. The third red flag, and this has to do with only people that you know via social media, like, you know, people at your job or what have you might not be on your Facebook page. But if you do know them through social media and if you are friends with them on Facebook or what have you, they might plaster your Facebook page with compliments, flattery, songs, poems, as the website Psychocast Free says. They might text you a lot. They might make up little poems and goofy, like, verses for you when really they don't know you at all, and it's kind of weird and creepy. They see it as romantic, but because you're a genuine person with genuine emotional depth and intelligence, you see it for what it is, and you see it as something that's weird and creepy and kooky. So they want you to start relying on them for your confidence. They want you to develop what in the psychological community is called an external locus of control. Hi, New York. We're on air live right now. So it's not healthy. You don't ever want to develop an external locus of control. You want to have a fairly internal locus of control, and you want to be able to have balance in your life. You want to have balance between things that affect you from the outside and then your confidence that keeps you balanced on the inside. You don't ever want to rely completely on someone else for all of your confidence and esteem. Number four on the red flag psychopathic checklist is that they quickly declare you their soulmate, and they tell you that they love you forever and that you are their soulmate and you're so connected. And, you know, again, it's odd when you've just met this person. It's an odd thing to say. Even after you've known them for a while, kind of an odd thing to say. So beware of that. They'll tell you that they've fallen in love with you, that they've got so much in common with you, and that they are the only one for you and vice versa. Number five on the checklist is that they compare you to everyone else in their life. And they'll compare you to ex-lovers, ex-sex partners. I don't like the word lovers. They'll compare you to ex-sex partners, friends, family, you know, people at work, what have you. Yeah, it is. And it's sad but true. I'd put it that way. It's sad but true. So they'll compare you to everyone else in their life. And this is called the idealization phase, where they idealize you as their perfect mate and la-di-da, you're everything to them, and they want to be everything to you. And they'll try to make you feel special, but in really weird, disconnected ways. And they will tell you how much better you are than every other person they've ever met in their life. Everyone else, exactly, it's never equal, says one of our Periscope viewers. So thank you for that. It's never equal. They compare you to everyone else they've ever met, and they tell you what a jerk everybody else is that they've ever met and how you're better than them. Well, you need to realize that the next person they meet, they're going to be saying the exact same thing about you, how horrible you were and how great the next person in their life is, which is really sad for them as well as you. I'm really sorry that happened to your friend. Is your friend out of the situation? I would hope. So the number six, the red flag list here, number six on that list is that there's always an excuse for everything, even things that really don't. Good, I'm glad your friend got out of it. That's wonderful. Hopefully they will never go back because the person will try to re-idealize them. And so what they will do is, and this is a kind of a creepy one too, right? They will lie to you. They'll make up weird stories, weird excuses for things that have happened in their life. Like if they're not in a good financial situation, they'll tell you about how some horrible ex-girlfriend or boyfriend took, yeah, exactly, they guilt trip you. Like their horrible ex took advantage of them. And like, you're the only nice person they've ever met. So, oh my gosh, poor me. And they make up a lot of stories where they're a victim of either just society, of chance, of people, specific people. And it's just weird behavior. It's really odd. Also, and this is a really important one, you guys, they do try to manipulate you. I'm just trying to see what your name is. Well, they do try to manipulate you. You're right. Another big key thing here on the psychopath free checklist is that they have no startle response. If you walk up behind them and like put your hands over their eyes or something, no response whatsoever. You will get no response, which is creepy and psychopathic. So they have the complete absence of fear, anxiety, worry, startle, and narcissists not so much, but more sociopaths and psychopaths. And, yeah, you'll write it off and think, oh, well, they've got a calm demeanor, but really they just don't have real human emotions. They will insult you, and number 8 on the checklist is that they'll insult you. They'll be condescending, and they'll, if you get upset about it, they'll say, I'm joking. They'll say, I'm joking, or I was joking. Just don't be so serious. Don't take life so seriously. I was joking. They'll smirk at you when you try to express yourself. Yeah, it's pretty immature and silly. And, like, you know, most of us aren't going to be upset by insults unless it is somebody that we truly care about. Then we'll be upset, right? Like, do I care about the trolls right now that are on my Periscope page? Not really. But if it's somebody I really knew and cared about, yeah, I'd be hurt, of course. So they do. They smirk at you. They roll their eyes quite a lot. They tease you. And then after a while, teasing will be really the primary way that they communicate with you. If you're married, if you're working for them, if you're a friend, a family member, that's how they'll communicate with you. And it's very, very sad. And you're right. It is always the ones near to you that hurt you the most. Because you're, like Will is saying, they do. They know how to push your buttons. Hello. And so the sociopath or the narcissist, they learn how to push your buttons. That's basically their job. That's their goal. They want to know how to push your buttons. So don't let them. Number 9 on the checklist is that they use social. Yeah, you know what? Thank you for asking that. Yes, it can be genetic. Yes, it can be. And it can also be developed. It can also be developed. So this goofball here who keeps telling me to touch him, he'd be a really good example of a sociopath. He doesn't understand social graces. He doesn't understand context. He doesn't understand how to respect someone and talk to someone with respect. So these trolls are actually really, truly a good example of sociopaths and or narcissists. So thank you, Mirsad, and whoever the heck else is trolling me right now. Truly. Because they don't understand courtesy and they don't understand how not to objectify somebody. Hello, welcome. So really, that is a good, thank you for that, you guys. It's a great example of narcissism and or sociopathy. Thank you. Yes, to actually objectify someone's body is absolutely very sociopathic and narcissistic, and it's off-putting. And of course, I'm not interested in it, and I don't know who really would be. So, yeah, thank you for that. So if you want to know what we're talking about, just go ahead and read the title of the Periscope post because we're on here live right now. So feel free to check it out. The information is right there for you. So number 9 of the sociopathic and narcissistic checklist is that they will use social networking to provoke jealousy and rivalries between you and other people who want to be with them, between you and other friends of theirs, etc. Yeah, really, they will. And so they'll try to set up when someone shows signs. Yeah, these are definitely red flags. So they'll set up sort of like, I don't know how you want to put it, like a rivalry or something. Like they'll pit you against someone else. And in fact, one of the sociopaths, I believe sociopathic narcissists, which is really scary, they will. One of the ones that I know has set up a few mutual friends and just pit them against each other. And when I've asked them, and I don't want to get involved because I've cut myself off from this person as a source of narcissistic and sociopathic supply, but, and this happens with my clients too, where, you know, I'll say, hey, they are the worst. You're right. Those are absolutely the worst. So I'll say, hey, can you tell me what it is about so-and-so that makes you feel like this rivalry thing is appropriate? Like, what is it about, you know, what is it about Anne that bothers you so much? And the person can't tell me because it's all the sociopath or narcissist's doing. They've set this person up for a rivalry with somebody who they shouldn't have a rivalry with, who they would generally normally get along with, and it's very sad. So they'll use social networking and just, I don't just mean social media, like networking, like talking to people. And it, oh my God, you're right. It happens at work a lot. Sociopaths and narcissists at work are horrible with this. They will absolutely do online and in-life one-on-one social networking to try to destroy your reputation and to set off rivalries with other people and pick off other people that they don't like. Yep, they do take the authority to their head, and that's all they want is power and authority, like empty power. So they try to cover up and say, oh, no, I didn't start that fight. I'm innocent. I was just helping so-and-so to try to work up their problem with Anne. It's like, no, you weren't. You actually started it. But you can't prove that, nor should you try. Don't ever confront a sociopath or a narcissist. It's very important to understand that you should never confront one. Just remove yourself from their life. So number 10 on the checklist is that you find yourself playing detective, which is why, yeah, you should always be cautious. You're absolutely right. So good for you. I'm dead serious. That's wonderful. Please keep being that cautious. A lot of my clients find me because they have found themselves playing detective with people in their lives. Guys, I want to tell you something. If you are playing detective with somebody in your life or Googling whether them acting a certain way is normal, then I'm going to tell you you've got a problem. If you're even, you know, if you're even here right now because you're in a relationship with somebody who you feel is acting in a strange way, then you have a problem. And I want you to be able to smoothly extricate yourself from that relationship because it's not serving you at all. It's serving them. You are their source of narcissistic and or sociopathic supply. It's not serving you at all. And you're right, it's not healthy at all. You may end up with something like PTSD, depression, anxiety. You could end up with physical things like heart problems, breathing problems. You don't want to mess around with sociopaths or narcissists. And like I say, with my clients, I try to get people to implement the no contact rule as soon as possible. I mean, it's one thing if you're in a relationship where you feel that you can't get out right now, and I fully understand that. Sometimes you can't get out at the moment, right? But you've got to make a plan. You can't tell anybody that you're making a plan. You've just got to do it and get out. So, like I said, number 10 on the checklist is that you find yourself playing detective. Number 11 is that this person, the sociopath or narcissist, you're right, they do use reverse psychology, guilt tripping, gaslighting, trying to make you feel that you're crazy or that you're out of bounds and suspecting them of whatever you suspect them of. And I want to tell you, if you do suspect them of something, you're probably right. I just want to give you that assurance. You're probably right. So number 11 is that they surround themselves with former lovers and potential mates. They do. Absolutely. They re-idealize, hello, and they triangulate on their target. So let's say that they let go of you or that you leave their lives. Later on down the road, they will contact you again. And they will reach out to you and they will try to rebuild your relationship. So understand that they try to bring exes into their lives so that you'll be jealous. Don't fall for it. And yeah, because their ex left them, exactly. And yes, they're using you, always. They don't have genuine feelings. They're not capable of having them. So you're fooling yourself if you're telling yourself that they care for you. And I hate to say that, but it is the truth. And you need to know that if you're dealing with somebody like this. They, number 12 on the checklist says that they hyperbolize emotions while displaying no emotion. So they might tell you about how they're super emotional and like how so-and-so really hurt them and how everybody in their lives just hurts them and takes advantage of them, but you will never actually see them display emotion. Yeah, crocodile tears is right. You know the terminology so well. Yeah, they show crocodile tears. If they feel that you're pulling away or that you don't believe one of their stories or what have you, you will almost immediately see them start with literal crocodile tears, just streaming down their faces. And then once they realize that they've hooked you, the crocodile tears will stop so fast you won't even know it hit you. So it's, oh, I like the quote that the Psychopath Free website has here. They say that they'll make statements, passionate statements, like, I've never felt so happy in my life, in a completely robotic voice, and that it sounds like an alien trying to explain how they imagine human emotions might feel. Yeah. Yeah, that's totally right on. Number 13 is that you are the only one who sees their true colors. That's pretty scary, right? Welcome, guys. Others will think they're the nicest person in the world, even though they are used for money, goods, resources, and attention. They won't care because the sociopath in question strategically distracts them with shallow praise, often done over social networking. Psychopaths and narcissists, I would say, are able to maintain superficial friendships for longer than real relationships. So if they have a real relationship with somebody and social bullying, you're completely right. They absolutely do engage in social bullying. If they have a real friendship with somebody, so here's what you'll notice. I'm just going to back this up and really put it in my own words again. So I love this checklist from psychopathfree.com, but I'm going to put this one in my own words. What you'll notice is that they will maybe even be a pillar of the community with people who don't know them, hello, with people who don't know them that well, right? But with their family, their romantic partners, husband, wife, etc., those people won't even so much as talk to them. So that's a real big red flag. That's a real big red flag. My name is, I'm on the air right now, and we're going to stick to the topic at hand. So, yeah. And then number 14 here is that they will accuse you of emotions that they're intentionally provoking. And you're right, that is how relationships fail. They just don't have genuine relationships anyway, so it's hard for them to understand what a genuine emotion or relationship is. They don't understand. Literally, they have no understanding of it. So they'll accuse you of emotions and feelings that they actually harbor themselves. Like, if for instance, if they think they're ugly, they'll call you ugly. If they think you're fat, or that they, if they think they're fat, they'll call you fat. If they think that they're deficient in some way, they will label you as whatever that deficiency might be. If they think they're not successful, they'll tell you how much of a failure you are. And it doesn't ring true for you. You're exactly, they have a superiority complex. Just like this wonderful quote in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, you have a superiority complex and an inferiority complex about it. So, yeah, they have the superiority complex. And they will accuse you of harboring feelings that they themselves have. And they will, for instance, try to make you angry too. And then when you get angry, they will be upset with you. They'll say something really hateful and awful to you, really, really awful. They might even physically try to harm you. And then when you're upset about it, they will try to spin it back on you. And it's really sick. Yeah, it's really sick. It is. And number 15 on the checklist is that they cannot put themselves in your shoes or in anyone else's shoes because they don't possess empathy. They don't even possess the ability to have empathy. This, in my opinion, this is like a disability. They don't have the ability. They don't have the sense of empathy or of emotional maturity or emotional intelligence at all. So any psychopath, sociopath, narcissist, just hello, welcome, just does not have that. It is always a red flag. You're right. They don't have that sense of intelligence, of emotional maturity, or of empathy. So they can't put themselves in your shoes.
they really can't even put themselves in their own shoes because they don't have genuine emotions or feelings. Number 16, of course, yeah, they hurt their animals from a young age, Will says. Oh my gosh, you're right, they do. They hurt their animals from a young age. Harming animals is a huge red flag of sociopathy and or narcissism. It's disgusting. It's huge. It's a horrible, horrible, horrible part of this awful personality disorder. So if you find somebody, oftentimes, unfortunately, too, they tend to have pets and have animals as a way to draw people in and show people how normal they are. And they just abuse those animals horribly. So we've got another troll in here, and I'm just going to go ahead and remind him that we are on air live right now, broadcasting about a specific topic, and that if you can't stay on that topic, you can leave. Thank you. So, again, here is somebody expressing sociopathic behavior. So, yeah, or get blocked, but you know what? I actually like when people show their asses to me. As somebody who is a lifestyle consultant and a coach and with a background in psychology, I like it. If you want to go one-on-one with me, you're going to see how painful that can be. And you're not going to come back, frankly. And hopefully it'll help you to grow a little bit and understand how you can and can't talk to me. Because, look, we all demonstrate to everyone else in the world how we're going to allow people to treat us. So thank you. Another one here is that number 16 is that you are engaged in constant conversations about this person's ex. So this person always has an evil ex of some sort. That just this horrible person, like they were with Hannibal Lecter, they were with Voldemort, and their ex is absolutely an evil genius mastermind, and it's horrible and the worst person ever. So that's actually, even though it's number, yeah, she's a crazy stalker, exactly. So even though this is number 16 on the Psychopath Free website checklist, I would say it's more like number one or two for me. When my clients are meeting new people, I always try to tell them, like if I think that they might be with a sociopath, hello, or a narcissist, I'll say, so by chance, does this person have an evil ex? And when they say yes, I'm like, okay, you need to get out. You need to get out of this relationship. So yeah, they've got an evil ex of some sort. You're going to know their ex by name. You're going to know what their favorite color is, what their favorite flavor of ice cream is, what their favorite movie is. And, well, you're right. They always find out too late. You're completely right. So, hello, guys. Welcome. And so you're always going to be talking about their ex. You're always going to be engaged in that discussion. And you're going to hear their version of events, but you're never going to hear the truth. And it's going to be a very sad situation for you if you, as an empathetic person, choose to buy into their garbage. Number 17 on the psychopath-free checklist is you find yourself explaining the basic elements of human respect and decency to a full-grown man or woman. Guys, if you are with somebody like that, leave. This is absolutely not okay. They are an adult. They are mature. They are a grown-ass person. Yeah, it is very bad. You should not have to explain to them how to be respectful and kind. And if you do, heck, even if they're not a psychopath or a narcissist, you don't need them in your life. They're not respectful, right? So you don't need them. So let's see. I've got a couple more here to go on the checklist. Number 18 is that they focus on your mistakes and ignore their own. So, like, if they're late for a meeting or something, if you're late for a meeting, if they are late for a meeting, let's start that again. If they're late for a meeting, they won't let you forget that you've been late two other times, and you're right, they're never accountable. Well, I was late today, but you've been late two other times, so this is really your fault. No, it wasn't. And when I was late before, I called and let you know. No, I'd be late, and I asked if you wanted to reschedule, and you said no. So you didn't call me today to let me know that. You didn't ask if I wanted to reschedule. You done just showed up late. No explanation. So number 19 is that they will suddenly become, sadly, completely bored by you. They'll give you the silent treatment for no reason. You have to walk on eggshells around them. They become annoyed with anything you do, anything you're interested in other than their friendship and their company. Then they don't want to have any part of it, and they'll become very upset with you and very bored and very irritated very quickly. And you become a chore to them. Like the psychopath-free checklist says, you become a chore to them. And do you really want to be in a relationship like that? And like Will says, and then they release it someday on someone else. Yeah, yeah, absolutely, they will. So they'll suddenly become totally bored by you. They are, number 20, the ultimate hypocrite. They have extremely high expectations on you for fidelity, for respect, for adulation and adoration and compliments and that sort of thing. But after they're done with the idealization phase, they won't give any of this to you, but yet they will still expect it in return. And they, if you don't hit them up with enough narcissistic or sociopathic hello supply, they will not fool with you anymore. And you don't want that. You don't want that. So number 21 on the checklist. So we seem to be getting a lot of narcissists and sociopaths in here tonight. And I actually appreciate the reminder of what inappropriate behavior is. Thank you for showing your ass. I do get trolled a lot. And actually, it's an interesting study in the lower end of humanity, I guess. Some of these people live, it is unfortunate, some of these people live just a very sad life, maybe don't have their own stuff to focus on, and I really wish them the best, and I hope that they'll be able to overcome whatever it is that is holding them back. So that's my wish for you, McSeaton21. I hope you'll be able to do that one day. So number 21 is that sometimes it seems as though the sociopath or narcissist has forgotten who they're supposed to be around you. They have forgotten who they're supposed to be. That is because their personality is fake. They don't genuinely possess the ability to be empathetic. Yeah, I've seen that before a lot too. You're right. So they forget, who, you know, they wear so many masks, they forget which one they put on for you. And they let it just slip away entirely. And their mistake is in thinking that they have you on lock, that they've got you hooked and that they've got you on lockdown and that they can just let their mask slip away. They don't realize that you actually, you know, were interested in them. Yeah, it is a personality disorder, exactly. So they don't realize that you were actually interested in the person that you thought they were because they seemed warm and genuine and empathetic. So they think that now that they've got you hooked, they can just drop the mask. And they do. They wear different masks for different people. Number 22 on the checklist is that they'll have an unusual amount of crazy people from their past, like we talked about with the exes and that sort of thing. So that's a real red flag. If somebody has an unusual amount of crazy people from their past or in their life or an unusual amount of people who, quote unquote, want something from them and that they just are so giving all the time and, gosh, yeah, they can't let go of their past. You're right. They're so giving and nobody else gives back to them, and that's why they're so glad to have you, you know. So the number 23, hello, guys, is that they flatter your deepest insecurities. They flatter your deepest insecurities. If you are self-conscious about something, they will seek it out. And they will find your insecurity and try to flatter it. And they, frankly, you know, in my opinion, in my experience with my clients and in my life, you don't always get them right. Like one of the sociopaths that, exactly, to build you up, one of the sociopaths that I've had personal experience with assumed that I had like a bad family relationship. And I have an amazing family, like amazing family, who I just adore. And she kept saying stuff about like my relationship with my dad and, oh my gosh, you know, I know that your relationship with your dad isn't good and I want to be there for you. I'm like, no, actually my dad's pretty awesome. Like I'm good. So they don't always get it right. They don't always get your insecurities right. But they do try to flatter them. They try to find them, hello, and flatter them. And, you know, it's kind of sick. They try to entertain all of your needs at first. And then number four on the checklist, number 24, rather, on the checklist, yeah, you're right. It's like when they take advantage of a girl that has a bad relationship with her father. Yeah, absolutely. Or a guy that has a bad relationship with his mom. They're going to flatter that and say, here, I'll be there for you in a way that your mom hasn't been. But they won't, of course. Or if you think that you're unattractive, they will tell you how beautiful you are. And they will come up with these elaborate stories about how you're more beautiful than anyone they've ever met before, which is just silly. You know, there are so many people in the world. Everyone's beautiful in their own way. Why would you say that? It's weird. Yeah, I don't follow people who are disrespectful to me or who try to objectify me, but best of luck to you. So for those of you listening in on the radio show, this is just me responding to some trolls as respectfully as I can. So they try to frequently make comments about what you're wearing, about how you look. I know that's been my experience with the narcs and sociopaths in my life. They try to arrange you, like Psychopath Free says. They try to, they become obsessed with, yeah, sexism is right. They become obsessed with your appearance. They try to make you look a certain way. They'll try to flatter you, but yet change your image at the same time to suit them. And it's very bizarre. They'll buy you new clothes. If they're a lover or something, they'll buy you new clothes. God, I hate that word. Sorry, I used it. I apologize. They'll buy you new clothes. They'll buy you makeup. They'll, you know, take you out to work out or what have you. So they will become obsessed with what they think your flaws are as well. And you're right. They will try to mold you into who they want you to be, just like they've done with themselves. That makes a lot of sense. They've molded themselves into this fake persona, so they're trying to do that with you. And they think that that's a gesture of love in some sick, messed up way. So number 25 here on the checklist is that they fear that any fight could be your last. So, yes, normal couples do argue and then resolve issues, but psychopaths and narcissists make it clear that negative conversations will jeopardize your relationship. And they will be really quick to try to apologize to you, and not really genuinely apologize, but to just kind of get the fight over with so that they don't have to mess with your upset feelings anymore. They don't try to understand why you're upset or try to do a moral or mental inventory of what they've done wrong. Yeah, you're right. They'll bottle it up and then bring the matter up months later. You're 100% right. They will remember that you looked at them wrong last year at this time, and they will remind you of that over and over again. Number 26 is that they are obsessed with humiliating successful, kind, and cheerful people. They don't like people being in happy relationships. They don't like people being successful. They want to just absolutely drag you through the mud. Number 27 is gaslighting, of course. We all know what that is. As psychopathfree.com says, they will blatantly deny their own bullshit behaviors. They do want to lower you to their level. You're right, absolutely. They will blatantly deny their own manipulative BS, and they will ignore any evidence when they're confronted with it. So they will ignore facts and become delusional. So you can't argue with them. And it's, again, it's best, no thanks, it's best to leave. It is scary. It's best to just up and leave. They expect you to read their mind. They expect that you know exactly what they want at all times. They expect that you have done as much just kind of research about them as they have about you. And so you should know what's on their mind at any time. Also, they have almost an infant's outlook at the world of the universe. My mom feeds me when I'm hungry. Therefore, my mom has a psychic connection to me. It's not that mom's noticing my behaviors that I seem upset or that I'm crying. Mom knows because mom is connected to me because I am all important. It's very infantile. So they expect you to know exactly what's on their mind. Number 29 is selfishness, and there's only one more after this. Number 29 is selfishness. Yeah, they do want to be pampered. You're right. Selfishness and crippling thirst for attention, exactly like you said. They drain the energy from you and they consume your entire life. Their demand for adoration, as Psychopath Free says, is insatiable. What I would call that is their need for narcissistic supply or sociopathic supply. It's insatiable. It really is. You can never meet their needs. Don't try. You will lose yourself if you try to do that. Please don't do that. Remove yourself from your relationship with these sorts of people, friends. You really need to remove yourself from their influence, and you need to just accept, yeah, they're very toxic. You're right. You need to accept that they're toxic and move on for your own well-being. And understand that you can pity them from afar because they'll never find their own happiness. So maybe that's your revenge in a way, you being happy and moving on and them being able to do that. So as they say on Psychopaths Free, yeah, you're right. They'll try to trap you with self-pity. Absolutely. Hello, guys. Their demand for that, you know, psychopathic, sociopathic, narcissistic supply is absolutely insatiable. And they will literally try to take advantage of anyone who has a pulse, anyone who breathes. They just want somebody on their arm. They just want somebody there to acknowledge them and validate them and care for them, and not in a healthy way. And, of course, they can't and do not want to reciprocate that attention or validation. They're not able to, even if they did want to, which they don't. Number 30 is, oh, you know what? I want to back that up. There is a hole in their soul. Just like psychopathfree.com says, there is a hole in this person's soul. It won't be filled. It can't be filled. You can't fill it. So stop trying. So number 30 is on the psychopathic checklist and the narcissistic checklist is your feelings. Pretty simple, right? After a run-in with a psychopath or a narcissist or a sociopath, you will feel insane, maybe literally, exhausted, drained, shocked, suicidal, and empty. You will tear apart your entire life. You're right. They want you to be considerate to them, and it's ridiculous. You can't be. You can't be. But they will make you feel absolutely drained, and even like I mentioned, suicidal. It's sick. They will tear apart your life. And then you will further tear apart your life while you're looking for the reasons why they're treating you so badly. You'll wonder what you did to them, which is so sad. You didn't do anything to them. It's all them. You'll wonder what you did to them to make them treat you so poorly. And that's just not a healthy way to think. You've got to try to step back from that sort of unhealthy, cyclical thinking you're not at fault and you're not alone. Like I say here on my radio show website, you're right. It's not logical. You're not at fault and you're not alone. So don't blame yourself. But these are a really great list of red flags. And I thought I would share them because they really match up with the red flags that I throw out there to my clients when I feel that one of my clients might be with a narcissist or a sociopath. And I just want to add, like, we'll talk more about this later, but I want to add that if you find yourself in a really significant relationship with one, like, you know, they're your boss or they're your spouse or what have you, and actually, you mentioned fuck the police. I want to bring that up. Narcissists and psychopaths are drawn to hero professions like police and firefighter and doctor and a lawyer, particularly ER doctor. So, hey, you actually kind of brought, yep, politicians too. You brought up a good point by proxy. Seriously. That, I think, is part of the problem with our police. Obviously, they're armed, and in Great Britain, for instance, they do not have guns, so that's another issue that could be discussed sometime later on a different show. But yeah, psychopaths, power abuse is right. That, yeah, that's all they want is empty power. So psychopaths and narcissists are drawn to those professions, like being police officers. And I'm not saying all police officers are psychopaths or narcissists by any stretch, but there are certainly a lot that are. So, like I mentioned, if you're in a significant relationship, yep, just some. Oh, yeah, I've had personal experience and lots of experience with my clients, and because I've had personal experience as well as education about this, I guess it's easier for me, to see when my clients are going through this, like, hey, you're in a narcissistic relationship, you need to get out. So if you're in a major relationship, like I started to say before, like boss, employee, or, you know, spouse, yes, you need to get out, but you also need to make sure that they don't realize that you're about to leave. So don't confide in anybody who might tell them that you're about to leave. Yeah, if you're in love, you still need to leave. If they're a narcissist or a sociopath, you have to leave. It's going to end up, and I don't mean to be totally grim, but it's going to end up one of three ways. Exactly. It's not healthy. You're either going to stay with them forever and lose yourself completely. You might go insane and have a mental breakdown, or you might end up dead. Okay, those are not healthy things. You're right. It is mental abuse and sometimes physical. So unless you want to end up with no sense of self, you give yourself away to them completely, you can never rely on a stable emotional life. Or if you want to end up literally in a mental institution with PTSD, anxiety, and severe depression, or potentially dead either by their hand or your own, then don't stay with them. And you're right. You'll lose yourself trying to please them. So you need to extricate yourself. But don't tell anybody about it. I mean, unless you know for sure that you have an absolutely trusted person in your life who absolutely will not communicate with this individual at all, because they're very good at charming people and they're very good at playing people against each other. So unless you absolutely for sure know that you have someone in your life who will not let the sociopath or narc know that you're about to leave, that can help you, then just keep it to yourself and make your own plan to leave. It's really important that while you're doing this, yeah, they are instigators, and it's important that while you're doing this, you don't give the narcissist or the sociopath any clue that you're about to leave, because they could end up trying to harm you, or, you know, physically harm you, I mean, or mentally harm you. They could try to destroy your reputation. They could try to file for a divorce before you do and try to make you look like you're at fault, so you owe them money. They could try to physically assault you. They could try to ruin your relationship with your kids or your family or your work. So you definitely don't want to let them know you're about to leave. And you want to make a really clear plan as to, you know, how you're going to leave and when, and stick to it no matter what. I mean, if they're bipolar psychopaths, they know. They know. All psychopaths know. And narcissists, too. They know. They've known since day one that there is something about them that is not normal, for lack of a better word. So they know. If you are wondering, am I a psychopath or sociopath or narcissist, though, you're not. Because, you would know. And two, if you have that much ability for self-reflection, you're not a narcissist or a sociopath. So if you're worried that you are one, you're probably not. Yeah, and there are early signs. You would know from a very early age that you are different and better than everyone if you were a psychopath or a sociopath. And that would be like an idea that you would carry with you through life. No matter how much you messed things up or what silly things you did, you would think that you were better than everyone all the time without exception, and that there was absolutely no need for anyone else to even be alive in the world except for you to use them as a means to an end. So unless you think that, then you're not a psychopath or a narc. So thanks for joining me, you guys. I'm going to end the show, and if you ever want to schedule an appointment with me, you've got my website and the link right here. Thanks for joining me. Have a great night, and stay safe out there.